You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A 2025 survey regarding experiences of disclosure to donor-conceived children about their origins reported that the majority of parents do choose to have a conversation with their tamariki about their whakapapa. Further research into donor whānau dynamics is being conducted by collaborative research group Donor Identity in Aotearoa New Zealand, with an intention to identify where support is needed for all parties of donor conception in Aotearoa. I spoke to researcher and professor Cindy Farquhar from the Faculty of Medical and Health Sciences at UOA Waipapa Taumātarau about the important role whakapapa plays in identity for donor-conceived tamariki and the path to best supporting the well-being of these diverse whānau units. Why is it important for children to know their whakapapa for their long-term well-being?
Well, that's a really central question to this whole debate. So I think here in Aotearoa we're pretty familiar with the idea of knowing your biological heritage. It's important, for a number of reasons. Sometimes people bring up the issue of, inherited disorders or conditions, and that is one part of it. But I think much more important is that sense of transparency and honesty about your parentage, and that people have the right to know who their biological parents are. And it's that sort of, the whole line of heritage perhaps, and then, the concept of whakapapa, that's a central Māori concept, but New Zealanders have really embraced that has been shown to be important in your long-term sort of well-being. And we know this really not so much from this field, but also from the adoption field, where people have, become very dislocated from their heritage through adoption, even though the adoption's been perhaps a happy arrangement, even when it's been transparent that they've been adopted, they still have this deep need to know about it and to perhaps meet with family. And the donor-conceived Aotearoa are a New Zealand advocacy group for this, and to hear their stories, which we have, is to realise how important it is to be open and transparent about this issue.
And what are the current laws around disclosing donor information, and are they enough?
So the current law, which has been around since it was implemented in 2005, is that the fertility clinics, when they know there's been a donor-conceived child, they submit that information to the register, including the name and contact details of the donor. And then when that child turns 18, they can contact that donor. There's no requirement that they must meet, but if they're both in agreement, then they can meet. And there's also quite a lot of protection at the time that the donor makes the donation, then he or she or they will they've signed a consent form, and that they know that they can be contacted. But they also have some protections. They don't have to meet, and they don't. And there's some financial things there, that there's no financial comeback on them. So there's that's good. I think that the problem with the system is that why would you contact the register when you turned 18 unless your parents had told you that you are donor-conceived? And so there's this, otherwise most people don't go through life wondering, well, sometimes they do, wondering if they are the children of their parents, but they wouldn't necessarily think about donor conception and going to a register. So it does really, responsibility for this does lie with the parents. But of course, parents who choose not to must now realise that they may get found out in not disclosing when they realise that kids can, or people can go and test their own genetic heritage through some of these DNA registers, such as Ancestry, and then they might get a a rude shock, and it really, really will affect the relationship that they have with their parents if they haven't disclosed. That can be a very traumatic thing to happen. One thing I meant to say about what could we do to make it better in terms of the donor finding out, and that is that the we could add a it is possible to add a flag to a birth certificate where it says a donor conception on that flag. So if a child orders that birth certificate at some stage, then they would find out about that. And so that might be one thing that also helps, although it still isn't the ideal. The ideal is be talking to your children when they're very, you know, reasonably young and keep that conversation going.
And where do the key responsibilities lie then in supporting the parents and families of donor-conceived tamariki through different stages of their journeys?
So I think, personally, I think they lie with the fertility services, but you can imagine that's quite a lot for them to do, because our measure of success for a fertility service, the clinical leader at Fertility Plus, which is a public clinic in Auckland, the measure of success is a live, healthy baby at birth, and then we don't generally see people again. But we all have counsellors and social workers who work in the clinics who help people get through the process of donating eggs and embryos, but haven't really felt the responsibility for the children once they grow up or you know, leave the clinic. So what I think should be happening and what we're doing is that we are now going to proactively set up a program where we contact people offering help, probably around the ages of between 3 and 5, and see how that goes. We think that from the survey, we could see that a lot of people had, you know, they were bothered by some aspects of it. They were wondering how to do it. They were wondering how to manage the wider whānau. You know, if you tell the child, then you tell everybody, and so it's quite complex for people. And so we'd like to help them do that. The amazing thing is that all these books have been written for children, so there's there's lots of good ways to do it, to make it just normal.
What overseas models and initiatives, if any, can we learn from in improving our practices here in Aotearoa?
Well, look, there are not that many countries who are requiring disclosure. There's several European countries. There are states in Australia. Not all states require it. And there's also in the UK. So we're not leaders in this regard, but we're certainly part of a group of countries that are, you know, promoting it. So it's hard to, and actually I think our legislation is somewhat stronger than some of the European countries where they say it's a good idea, whereas we've actually got it in the legislation. But to mandate it would be to, you know, absolutely enforce it, and we don't think that we can do that. I did an interview last week, and a gentleman called in saying that he thought that when the children turn 16, they should get a letter from the births, deaths and marriages telling them, and if the parents know that that's coming, then the parents will tell them. So that, it would work, but it would also cause an awful lot of upset if the parents, hadn't done it. And we don't want to break relationships with people, so it's a little bit too draconian. We'd probably the softly, come on, you know, reminding people to do it and talking to them and offering them support. So we've said that we're going to sort of do it around 3 to 5 years, and we're probably going to check in again around 10 years and see whether they have or not. We do have, you know, many different cultures coming to our clinics, and so in some parts of the world, this is really foreign, this idea. and in many countries around the world don't have any legislation around it. Now, somewhat interestingly, India actually has a law that prevents you from disclosing the parentage. So they've gone exactly the opposite way. So, you know, those are the cultural challenges that we have to talk to people who come from perhaps India and don't necessarily agree with this idea of talking about it so openly. To acknowledge the people who worked with us on this project, Donor Conceived Aotearoa, and also Associate Professor Sonia Gurdecki from the Auckland University of Technology, and my colleagues here at the University, Karen Anderson and Celine Bertrand. It was a team effort, and I really appreciate their work in this as well. Thank you.
That was researcher and professor Cindy Farquhar on the importance of the paths to supporting the well-being of donor-conceived tamariki and their whānau in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.